Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
Bing! So, you got tickets to Robbie Williams?
I do. At the end of the year, down the green.
I just want to feel real love and a life ever after.
I can't wait. I think we could. Well, it was going to be the day before STP, and then that was just no way I could do that. So they released a new date the day before that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to that one with Ange.
Yeah.
Wow. We didn't invite you. Awkward.
I should be able to get tickets anyway. I'll be stalking.
But, hey?
I'll be stalking.
Yes. I'm looking forward to it. I went to see Robbie Williams years ago.
Did he pack out? I remember watching him getting messed up on stage.
I saw him when he was a bit messy back in the day.
Yeah.
But I'm looking forward to it. I think it'd be good.
Mm. I saw him do a Christmas special at Christmas time where he was in one of the London theatres and he did all the Bing Crosby songs and everything.
I love it. It was amazing.
Really?
Yeah,
what a performance. And I think his mother was there. And he was singing to his mother. It was incredible. It was really beautiful.
Oh, I'd like to see that. I really liked him at the grand final, last year's grand final. I thought that he did a great job.
He was better than Meatloaf.
Who wasn't? No. That was terrible. I don't think they're ever going to live that down, honestly.
No.
That was so bad.
I don't think Meatloaf will ever live it down.
Oh, dear.
Anyway.
So what we wanted to do today, and I think this is a great little thing, because we often get great little statements or sayings that we hear along the way where either somebody else has said it or we're saying it, and there's a couple that we want to just go through and just talk about. So I'm going to go the first one. Right, you ready?
Yes.
You never know what terrible fate your bad luck has saved you from. I really like that.
Yes,
because sometimes we think that this, like, you know,
but it's don't piss and moan about the things that have happened to you, because they may have saved you from something else that was going to be much worse, you know. And we call things bad faith because we perceive that it robs faith and life from us. Do you know what I mean? That the shit that's happened. That's
bad luck, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And luck is just preparedness meeting opportunity, you know.
So often
I like that statement as well.
Well, do you want to explain that? That's what we're doing, explaining
our
statements. Well,
luck is being prepared to meet an opportunity. People think that luck is something that falls out of the sky and suddenly, oh, they were so lucky. No, they were just fucking prepared to meet an opportunity.
When an opportunity arrived, they were prepared to take that.
Yeah.
So people call it lucky that, you know, you've got good kids, or lucky that you got this deal, or lucky that – but that's not the case.
Yeah.
It's the case that you were prepared.
Yeah.
You know, and you were prepared. So when the opportunity arose, then
you were able to grab it.
You were able to grab that opportunity.
You were lucky.
You were lucky. So you never know what terrible fate your bad luck has saved you from.
Right.
So it's about not pissing and moaning about what? About
about what has happened to you, because it could have been actually preventing you from something or having something else much worse happen to you.
Right.
You know, so you never know.
You need to turn the microphone to you so that how many times have we told you this? Many times.
I just feel like I get wronged in here all the time.
So what do you do? What do you would you expect people to do an equilibration on that?
Well, of course, if they think that
it's really haunting them, that they perceive that they have bad luck or that life didn't play in their favour in any particular way, to actually stop and look at where it did.
Well, that's what the equilibration process does. It gets you to see the whole story, you know what I mean, instead of only seeing it as a half.
Yeah.
You know, as we say all the time, the only reason when something happens to you, you're emotional, is because you haven't seen the blessing or the lesson in what it was doing for you, that there's a divine will behind everything that happens.
Yeah, and I think I really like that whole thing that when somebody said once, I've heard them saying that if everyone was to throw their problems into a pile and have to take some problems back, everyone would take their own problem back.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, you've got what it takes to be able to handle that. You're not given stuff that you're not able to handle. And when you see
Would they?
Would you?
Well, if you had AIDS, Right.
No, that's coming from the point of view of not seeing what it's giving you. 100% I reckon you take it back. Because if you see somebody else who's got kids that have lost their kids or
right.
something else okay, that they hold in high value.
What if I'm just suffering from a bald patch, right?
Oh, I love that you're really being serious and taking this seriously. I love that.
Well, you know,
I feel like I'm on my own, having to carry the podcast again.
Behind all great irony is great comedy.
I don't know about your definition of great comedy, let's be fair. Because honestly, I don't know about
I'm suffering from a ball patch and you've got AIDS and we throw it into the pot.
So are you going to leave that open or are you going to actually answer that? What
no,
do you think?
I think that if you're really, really see the full story, you wouldn't take anybody else's problems.
No.
You take your problem.
Yeah, because why?
Well, because it's not actually a problem.
Yes, that's if you see your full story. Do you think that people would take their own problems back if they didn't see their full story?
No, I think in some cases they might not.
You don't?
No.
I don't agree with you.
Really?
I think we're going to have to disagree on that. Right, yeah, right. Because I think the thing. I think even without having the knowledge and the awareness of it, right, you might have this perception that you're poor, for example, and
right.
you see someone who's rich, but then you see some of the problems that they have with the family and da-da-da, and your family are connected and da-da-da. I have a feeling like you wouldn't choose the money over the disconnected family.
But
that's just an assumption, obviously.
Yeah,
like,
but then you also have to add in there that you would have to see the whole problem for
that's what
it
I'm
was.
Saying. What do you mean?
You'd have to see the whole problem for what it was, you know, that there is a disconnected family, that all of that's what the problem
is. That's what I'm saying. Right. That the problems that they're having, you wouldn't take those back to have the life that they're living.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's how I see it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Just something randomly as well. I saw because I follow lots of different, on Instagram and Facebook and stuff, I follow lots of those, you know, mindset stuff and finance stuff. And one of them was like, do you want money and is money valuable to you? And most people will say yes. But you'll say, well, I'll give you $1 million, but you're going to die tomorrow. Well, then actually time is more valuable to you than money. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or I'll give you $1 million, but your family's sick. Well, actually your family's more important to you than money.
Yeah.
So it's like you have other things in the way. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So I think this would show what, I don't know. That's how I see it. I think this would show.
Yeah, so you're saying that you have other things in the way. You say that money is most important, but I give you $1 million, but your child's going to be sick. Or I give you $1 million, but you're going to lose life tomorrow.
Yeah.
Then the truth about it is that if money was more important to you,
yeah,
you'd take money over time.
Over time.
You'd take money over sick child.
Health, yeah, mm. exactly. Mm. So anyway, so the terrible fate that your bad luck has saved you from, I think, anyway, that's that one.
I also think then that, you know, money is a byproduct of knowing what's important to you.
Money is, yeah.
If you knew what was important to you, you would never trade it for money.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
So it's important to know what's important to you.
Yeah.
I'm going to sneeze.
Okay. I think I really appreciate that you're looking away. That's pretty good. Mm. Are you back?
They always come in threes.
Do they?
Well, yeah. Like punchers.
Okay, so we heard another statement, right? Mm. This is really cool. This is Tash said it's in one of Garth Brooks's songs and she really loves
this
statement. Country singer.
Okay, let's hear the statement then. I'll sing it in country.
Please don't.
That's really exciting.
Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers.
Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers.
Okay. I feel sorry for anybody who had to listen to that I did because that was right in my ears there, unattractive.
No.
Okay, so I love that statement because that reminds me, and I'm sure I've talked about it on the podcast, but it reminds me of the deleted scenes in Bruce Almighty.
Oh, yeah.
Where?
It was really good.
That was so good. So obviously in Bruce Almighty, God, when Jim Carrey becomes God and has the power, everybody's asked prayers. And he's just, instead of answering them individually, he's just gone a blanket yes to everybody's prayers and prayers. Anyway, in the deleted scenes, Morgan Freeman, who is God, tells him And shows him what he's done, which is this woman was on her last amount of money and she was going to reach out to her sister who she'd never seen for 20 years or something like that. And because you answered her prayer, she never got to do that. This kid was bullied all the way through high school and because he was able to climb to this top rope or whatever, he was not able to become the great poet he ended up becoming. So, and then they use Lance Armstrong as a guide as well. They said, I know, just because of all the drug use stuff, I know. I have to say something funny about that. Do you know that they had a little meme somewhere that was like, that was like about Lance Armstrong about being able to do all these things while he was on drugs? Because I don't know how he did it when I'm on drugs. I can't even find my bike. anyway, but they were saying about how the fact that, you know, these, you need dark colours to make a full picture. And that statement is like, your unanswered prayers are a gift if you can find them. I think these, all my, our statements here are coming, are very aligned. But, you know, one of the things we talk about is that there's no such thing as an unanswered prayer. The prayers are always answered. It's just that it's not a, it's not necessarily a yes or a no. Sometimes it's a maybe. Do you know what I mean?
We say it all the time, but you're in the celestial realms, you're dreams and aspirations are already fulfilled. The space between where you are and experiencing that is dependent on how grateful you are for everything that you've already been given. So your prayers are already answered. Your contract's already cut.
Agreed. So I really like that statement. And the last one we're going to talk about today, is? Which is one that you were, and I've spoken about in my Mindset Club as well, actually.
Is that because you got it off me? Just asking.
Why is everything about you?
Well, I'm just asking because I just feel I don't get the accolades. Do you know what I mean? I don't get the kudos.
It's accolades, accolades.
That's what I said.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
You're born looking like your parents. You die looking like your choices. Oh, I really like
that's
that.
Very good.
I really like that. So, do you want to describe what that means?
Well, you turn. You know, you can. You're born with your eye color. You can't change that. There's certain things you can't change when you turn up in the world, right? You're born with certain things, and everybody has an incredible story in their lives of someone that they know that went from something and became something extraordinary, right? So.
Or came from nothing or went came from nothing.
Came from nothing and turned it into something extraordinary because of the choices that they made. So you can choose, you know, to have a loyalty to, you know, the lineage you come from. Or you can choose to actually make different choices. Look at the choices your parents made and make different choices that get you to where you want to get to. You know, and stay away from decisions, just stay on top of choices and make choices that get you to where you want to get to. And it's the choices that you make that determine the person you are at the end of it all.
So I think that you need to then clarify choices and decisions then.
Okay, so a choice is something that you make where you're really inwardly clear about what you're doing. You don't need anybody in the outer world to tell you. And a decision is where you go from being really clear to then running around asking everybody their opinion of the choice that you make. So the minute you do that, you turn it into a decision.
Right. So a decision is you're actually not clear. You're looking for feedback.
Yeah.
So you think you're going to go one way rather than another way. Whereas a choice is being fully clear that whichever way you go, you're going to be okay. And you're making that choice from a clear perspective.
Absolutely.
Right? So when you are making decisions, right? So let's say you're born with very little opportunities, right? Or maybe you're born with a lineage or of poverty mentality or a lineage of whatever the lineage might be. You can choose to live outside of that or you can decide to follow along with that story.
That's right.
With the story that says you're never going to make it, it's not going to be good enough, etc. Where you turn up is related to you. You don't have control of that, but you do have control of the choices that you make.
That's right.
If it's a decision, you're not in control.
Yeah.
Somebody else or the mindset of the parents or whatever is
in
control.
You've handed over control. You're not on top of it. You're not in it.
So you also said about that is that one of the things that we do as human beings then is we criticize others to avoid your own problems.
Well, criticism of another human being is a way in which you divert looking at yourself.
So you don't have to look at the choices you're making.
That's right.
You just have to look you're busy criticizing
You're busy
criticizing everybody else. Yeah, so you're not taking action.
Yeah.
So you're not taking action, you're not doing So you're not then checking into what you're doing or how you're feeling about what's going on.
Yeah.
All you're doing is you're shifting your focus outside of you so that you don't have to focus on yourself.
Well, you're not able to handle the potential love and lesson in what it is that you're doing. So you've got one finger pointed at everybody else when the three that are pointed back at you are the ones you need to be looking at, which is the 25-75.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at yourself and understanding who you are allows you to feel as if you don't need to criticize anybody. So how often do people wake up in the morning and start criticizing rather than actually going, okay, well, what have I got to be thankful for right now in my own life and in who I am and what am I learning here? Whatever you're criticizing is in another is just you.
Yeah.
It's just you. And it's showing up in the form of another human being so that you get it.
Yeah. Yep.
So you manifest your reality based on all of your lessons.
Yeah. And I think that in that last statement we made, I think to me it's comforting to know that there is a place outside of where you started, that you don't have to end up where you started.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was talking to someone just the other day actually about that, about how you've got to be intentional with what you're looking for and why you want something, because otherwise you're – decisions will always lead you back to what you've already got.
Right.
And you have to know that the thing that you're looking for brings with it both plus and minus.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for finances, say for example, your finances are not just going to give you plus.
Yeah.
They're also going to give you minus.
Yeah.
So you have to know that, and then you're making the choice with that full perspective. Yeah. Otherwise you're trying to get somewhere and you're never going to get there, because you're always going to feel like this place you're going to get to is an illusion. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's not possible to get to a place where you don't, where it's only plus and no minus. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, that's really cool. I love those statements. I think they're cool.
Yeah, I just love picking them up. I love how life sends them to you. It's like little messages that life lets you know you're on track.
Is that you're listening to podcasts or
just different things? Yeah,
or something.
I like
comes
to keep
on.
My sources to myself.
You're insane.
Even if you live the most extraordinary life, there is always more to learn. This is why tens of thousands of people are using MJB Seminars techniques to hack their consciousness and bridge the gap from where they are to where they actually want to be.
MJB Seminars use cutting-edge transformational processes that are science-based and backed to help people break through subconscious barriers and limiting beliefs in order to reset, reboot, and live inspired. If you'd like to know more today, Google search MJB Seminars Bridge the Gap. Click on the first link and watch the video.
Now, for simply watching the video, you will also receive a complimentary coaching session with one of our master coaches valued at over $600 to help you get traction in your life today. Remember, live life inspired.